start in chapter 12 and read two verses, 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul took time to share what the Lord gave him in these first two scriptures. It's a call to righteousness, a call to holiness, instructions for us as Christians and believers, and how we should present our lives, our bodies, everything that we are to the Lord. A living sacrifice. He says, I beseech you. So he's asking you. This is an important ask. He's coming to you and he's saying, I beseech you, realizing that it's a choice that we make. Our walk, our salvation, our surrender to the Lord is never forced. It's an individual choice that all of us make. By the mercies of God, because of the mercies of God. We were just singing about that this morning. Those mercies that are new every morning. Aren't you glad that his compassions don't fail? He said his compassions fail not. His mercy is new every single morning. God is faithful. What mercies are we talking about? How do we know that God is merciful? The fact that you are able to live a life of redemption and reconciliation back to God because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, that in itself shows God's love, his mercy for us. And we wake up to that new each and every morning. All of our mistakes, all of our failures. I fail every day. I struggle with things every single day. But we serve a God that has mercy on us. And he delights in showing us mercy. He delights in showing us mercy. And I'm thankful for that. We know that we have mercy because we're joint heirs with Christ. We no longer have to be bound in sin. We're free in the Lord. That's mercy. Mercy is something that's given that's not earned. We can't earn it, but it's given to us out of his love and his mercy. Justified from the guilt and penalty of sin. That's mercy. When we surrender our life to the Lord, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. That's mercy. He knew that we couldn't do it alone. He left that comforter, the Holy Spirit that leads and guides and corrects us and teaches us. And he left his word to guide us as well. That's mercy. Presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. Just a little history about sacrifice. I'm sure you're aware that before Jesus sacrificed his life, the custom was that a sacrifice had to be made to atone for sin, to cover sin. We can't do it. We couldn't do it then, and we can't do it now. But that sacrifice, this holy, acceptable unto God, he was very specific. Several scriptures talk about it. In Leviticus chapter 22, verse 20, it says, But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. God gave them specific instructions on the types of sacrifices that they were to give. If it was a lame animal, an animal with a blemish on it, a sick animal, something that wasn't worthy of the forgiveness that would be given, they were not to use that type of sacrifice. There were specific requirements for the sacrifice. So Paul used this analogy knowing that they would understand what the purpose of a sacrifice was. And he's saying, because of the mercies of God, because of the sacrifice that the Lord himself made for us, we should willingly present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Unlike the animals that were laid before the Lord in the form of sacrifice, we're alive. So we are a living sacrifice. And when we accept Jesus, not only are we physically alive, but we become spiritually alive. We're supposed to be dead to our flesh, dead to the world. So as we live out this sacrifice to the Lord, He's living it through us, through the power of the Holy Spirit. But our flesh is supposed to be dying, just like those animals that died when they were sacrificed. We are to die to our flesh each and every day. Being a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, means total surrender. When I was growing up, I grew up in church, and a lot of young people my age had the mindset that they were going to get saved later, that they had time. Young people are dying each and every day. So don't allow the enemy to fool you into thinking that because you're young, maybe your parents are saved, your grandparents are saved, that that's enough for you for now. Because young people are being called home in droves, in high numbers. So don't let the enemy, I don't know why I'm saying this, but don't allow the enemy to make you think that you have time. God wants all of you now, in your youth, in your strength. What you have, He can use it for the kingdom. You may not think it's much, but He can use it. He can use all of you. He wants all of you. Think about the things that we as believers hold back from God. Our money. We give Him what we think we should give. We're not led by the Holy Spirit. And I give to the Lord cheerfully as He asks us to, I'm amazed by how He multiplies what I have. My grandmother instilled tithing in me. And I learned as I grew older the blessings in giving offerings to the Lord. Not just what I want to give, but what He leads me to give. There's a blessing in our obedience and surrendering everything to the Lord. All of your talents, all your gifts. If you're blessed with a talent, use it for the kingdom. That's why we have it. And whatever little it is you think it is, God can grow it and multiply it into something great. I'm not a public speaker. I never have been. I'm never like standing in front of people and speaking. And bringing a word from God, that makes me even more nervous. But see, I've learned to just move back, Angela, step back, and allow God to do that work in you. Because He knows that He can use you for His kingdom and for His glory. It has never been about us anyway. It's all about Him and what He wants to do through us. But we have to surrender to that. We have to give our bodies, give our time, give our talents for the glory of the Lord. Through our sacrifice and giving of our time and giving of our talents and giving of our money or whatever God asks us to give, as a sacrifice, we are cleansed. We are purified. The Word of God says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to cleanse us, to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So when you're in Christ and He is in you, part of being that sacrifice means that some things are going to have to be purged, taken off of us. Those things that we have in our lives, those friendships or relationships or things that we do that we know we shouldn't be doing, those things need to be taken away, purged away from us, because they prevent our spiritual growth in the Lord. They hold us down. Those weights that are so easily beset us, we got to put them to the side. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in us so that we can grow. We won't grow. And it says if we don't bear fruit, we get tossed away. We're going to end like the world if we don't allow that purging through that that living sacrifice, that purification and that cleanliness that happens only through the Lord. As a living sacrifice, we must recognize that we belong to him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, and also 19 and 20, it says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?" What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." There's some things that we participate in, certain television shows that we watch, music that we listen to, things that we do, habits that we have in our life that we know full well those things do not glorify our Savior. But we continue in those things. We're not being a living sacrifice because you're not allowing God to do that cleansing. You're not allowing him to do that purging that he wants to do. As a living sacrifice, we should live our lives to glorify God. Paul said, "For me to live and to is Christ, and to die is gain." What does that mean? I'm living my life to please Christ. And like Paul, I want to die to my flesh every single day and be alive in Christ. I can't do that if I'm not surrendering my life to him, if I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to do that work through me. It is our reasonable service. Reasonable service. That word reasonable in the Greek means rational, of the word, and an act of worship. Our life should be an act of worship patterned after the word of God. Everything that I've said leads me to the purpose of the word that I'm wanting to give today. We know all of these things. We've read that scripture time and time again. We know that we're supposed to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. But why do we continue to struggle? And this is what God revealed to me in that second scripture. He says to be not conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, what's happened to me, what's happening to maybe you and other believers is that we know that we're supposed to be transformed. We know that the Holy Spirit is supposed to do a work in us, but we haven't, our minds have not been renewed. There has to be a renewal of the mind in order for that transformation to take place. And without it, it won't take place. Think about it in the natural. I can wake up and say, I want to, you know, save more money. I want to get out of debt. But if I don't change my mindset and how I spend and buying frivolous things and things I don't need, or I'm not saving, or I'm not investing properly, my financial situation is not going to change. It's going to stay the same. If I'm complaining about a relationship that I'm in, knowing full well that this is not the person God has for me, and I continue in that because I'm afraid to let go of that thing or that person, whether it's a friendship or something more intimate. If you know that that's not God's best for you, how will you ever be blessed with what he has for you? If you continue to hold on to that, you got to change your mindset. Something in your mind has to change. If you want to change your health, you want to get healthier, your weight is up and down, your eating habits are not where they need to be. Your doctor keeps adding on a prescription every time you go because this lab is up or this lab is down. If you don't change your mindset, how you think about food, how you think about being physically active, that situation is not going to change. It has to start in the mind. Biologically, physically, before I can walk, my mind has to think about walking. Before I can speak, my brain has to process that. So our actions start here. Move here. And then we walk those things out. So we can't expect to be transformed into the image of God if we haven't changed our mindset. And that's why so many of us struggle, because our mindset has not changed. So I just want to take a few more minutes to talk about that and share some ways that we can renew our minds in Christ. Transformed. That word, metamorpho, means changed or transfigured. What is a metamorphosis? A change from an immature form to an adult form in two or more distinct stages. Change in the form of nature of a person or thing, and that change can be natural or supernatural. Natural, you think about a butterfly. What is it? Egg, larva, pupa, and then a butterfly. Or a frog that starts out as a tadpole. Or supernaturally, where we're born in our flesh, damned to hell. But when we accept Christ, there's a supernatural change that happens in us if we allow that change to happen. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I want that newness. I want to be that new creature in Christ. But it's going to require me to change some things in my mind. How do I do that? Renewing of our mind. Renovation. You've heard of renovating a home or a building. Process of improving something that's broken, damaged, outdated. Making something new or bringing life back into something. We are broken before we come to the Lord. I'm still broken in a lot of ways. But as I surrender to that sanctification process and I allow the Holy Spirit to do the work in me, he starts to mend and heal and restore and remove all those things from me that are hindering my walk with the Lord. If I allow it, it's not something that he's going to ever force on you. We have to surrender to that process. Why do we have to renew our minds? Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even unto the cross. You see, our minds are not like the mind of God at all. We think about ourselves. We think about the things that our flesh wants to do. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all those things. The things that we thought we enjoyed in the world, those are our thoughts. See, his ways and his thoughts are much higher than ours. So that's why he said that we should have the mind of Christ. But again, if we're not living our life, walking it out as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, and our mind is not being changed and renewed, we can't do that. We may want to, but we'll fail because we're doing it at our own strength. And we're not placing our faith in the cross and the sacrifice that he made. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 7 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Our carnal mind, our fleshly mind, when we are focusing on that, when we are being led by our flesh, we're not even able to surrender to the Spirit because we're being led by our flesh. We have to make that choice that we want to be free. That freedom is given. It was already given on the cross. He said it is done. So whatever your struggle is, whatever your battle is in the flesh, God has already overcome that. And because he overcame, we overcome. That is a mindset change. We have to get that in our mind so we can get it in our hearts and truly believe it. And if you're continuing to walk in your flesh and you're continuing to battle, that's a mindset change. It hasn't clicked yet because you're on that hamster wheel of life and continuing in that path. What are four ways that we can renew our minds? 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. This is David speaking to his son Solomon. And thou, Solomon, my son, thou know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. We must first willingly surrender. Willing mind, it says. We must willingly surrender to the instruction, to the correction, to the leading, the teaching, and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. We have to be willing. That's the issue for most people. They're not willing. They know, we know, I'm guilty too, what I'm supposed to do, but I don't do it because I simply don't want to. I don't have a will to. I find pleasure in the things that I want to do, so I continue to do those things. And so therefore, my mind can never change, and I won't be transformed into the child of God that I am supposed to be, because I'm not willingly surrendering my sin, my habits, my money, my time to the Lord. I'm not surrendering to the Holy Spirit and the change that it wants to make in me. This transformation that the Holy Spirit needs to make in me so I can become like Christ. The second thing. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The Lord plainly tells us to set our affections or our mind on things above and not on things of this earth. Some days I am consumed, it seems, with everything that's going on around me. Chores around the house, bills that need to be paid, a job that I have to do, things going on with my husband, my children, the dog. We're consumed by all of this stuff, but we can't set our affection on it. We have to keep our mind focused on the Lord, on the things of God, on eternal things. We do have to mind the things around us. We can't just let everything fall apart. But is that all that you think about? The bills, how I'm going to get more money, this thing that's going on with my child, this thing that's going on in my marriage? Or are we taking those things and are we laying it before the feet of Jesus? Are we spending time in prayer? Are we spending time in his word? Dedicated time studying his word and learning from him so he can speak to us. Person says, I've never heard the voice of the Lord. Have you read the word? Because when I read the word, he speaks to me. Do you pray? Do you have a prayer life? Because when I pray, he speaks to me. I hear him. And because I have that relationship with the Lord, this is not about religion. It's about relationship. And when you have a sincere relationship with him, all throughout the day he's speaking to you. It's amazing. Little bitty things that you wouldn't even think God would care to talk to you about, he talks to you about. There are so many times I lose things. Lord, where did I put such and such? He'll take me right to it. You know, just small things that you would think are insignificant to him. But that's all comes through relationship. If you're not hearing the voice of the Lord, maybe it's because you're not getting to know him, so you don't know his voice. You're not getting to know him through your prayer life. You're not getting to know him by studying his word. And see, the more I learn and know about him, the less I want to be like myself. The more I see myself for who I really am. And that's why Satan wants to keep us from prayer and keep us from the word, so we can be comfortable in this. I don't ever want to be comfortable in my flesh. My goal in this life is to become more like Jesus. And I pray that that's your goal too. Renew our minds. Renewing our minds requires us to choose not to saturate our minds with worldly thoughts. We're in this world, but not of it. We have to be here. We have to do things, but don't allow it to consume you and take over your mind so much so that you don't make time for the Lord. Number three, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. By prayer and supplication. Our minds are renewed through prayer. Prayer. I never really thought about that during my prayer time, how much of a change happens in me when my prayer life is on point and where it needs to be. I can tell when I haven't spent enough time in the Word of God. I can tell when I haven't spent enough time in prayer because nothing around me has changed. It's still chaotic, but it disrupts my peace. It starts making me off, you know, in my personality. I'm lashing out when I wouldn't do that. I'm getting angry when I wouldn't normally do that. I'm acting in a way that I wouldn't normally act. And when I stop and think, it's like, I didn't read the word today, or I haven't been spending time with the Lord like I normally would. Because see, in exchange, that time of exchange that you give to the Lord in prayer, it says he gives you peace. Peace. The storm around me hasn't changed. That storm is still there. Those bills are still there. Stuff is still going on. All that stuff, you know, in the world around us, the news, all the things in our society, those things aren't changing. But when you're spending time, consecrated, dedicated time in prayer, it's kind of like you're just walking through a rose field. That peace, people look at you and it's like, they know all the stuff you're going through. They know the stuff you're dealing with. And they're like, how are you at peace? Because I'm spending time in prayer. And God gives me that because I'm taking time to spend time with him. Number four. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, this is God speaking to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Meditating on the word of God. Meditating on the word of God. It sounds simple. Peace through prayer. And he says when we meditate on his word, it makes our way prosperous and we have good success. See, our society says success comes in the amount of money you have, the people you know, the education. But God says it comes from meditating on his word. Day and night. Day and night. What are you thinking about day and night? Do you find yourself in church, instead of listening to the word that's going forth, you're thinking about the meal you're about to eat or the plans that you have later on this afternoon? What are you meditating on? What is your mind focused on most of the time? We have to be honest with ourselves. Because if you're not spending time in the word, how can you think on the word? Because it's not in you. We hide that word in our hearts so we don't sin against him. It is the light and the lamp for us. Meditate on the word. So by willingly surrendering to the Holy Spirit and what it wants to do in us, by putting our mind on things, on setting our affections on things above and thinking on those things that the scripture speaks about through prayer, and finally, by meditating on the word. That means to think about it, focus on it intently, Study it. Don't just read it. Get it in your heart. Get it in your spirit. So it starts to conform you to the image of God. Be honest with yourself and ask yourself, what in your mindset is keeping you from fully being able to surrender your life to the Lord? What thing or what things or what habits or what people? What mindsets do you need to shift or change? Are you willing to focus on the things and to think on the things that God has asked you to? Are you willing to surrender your life, your body to the Holy Spirit and allow it to do it so you can truly be the hands and feet of Jesus? If we're focused on our flesh, if we're carnally minded, we cannot do that. We have to surrender to the Holy Spirit so it can do the work in us. Are you willing to spend that time in prayer? Are you willing to spend that time in the Word? You have to renew your mind in order to transform into who God wants you to be. I want to close with one last scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 21 through 24. It says, "If so, be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." We've been taught, we've heard, you're here, you're listening, so I'm sure you believe. The instruction is for us to put off the old man. Behold, all things are become new when we are in Christ. But if you don't take the steps and make the choices and make the decisions to renew your mind, you're going to continue on the same path, never growing spiritually, building your flesh instead of your spirit. Those same habits are going to continue to be there. And like the world, you'll be on your way to hell. If we truly want to be transformed, if we truly don't want to live in conformity to this world and the things of it, we must renew our minds. Amen. If you just bow with me for a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you this morning. And I and everyone under the sound of my voice need you this morning. Lord, we want to become more like you. We want to be transformed in the image of Christ. We want to lay aside these things, Lord God, that are distracting us and that are hindering our walk with you, Father. But we struggle with renewing our minds. So help us, Father, to focus our attention on you and on heavenly, eternal things. Help us, Lord God, not to allow our minds to be clouded with the things of this world, not to focus on worldly things, God, but to focus our attention on you. Lord, help us to build a faithful prayer life, a faithful study life, so that we can learn from you, God, and so that you can teach us more about you. We cannot do this on our own. We need you, Father. Help us, Lord, to renew our minds so that we can transform into the children of God that you would have us to be through and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord.
Lord, continue to help us. Just as you did the disciples in the book of Acts, how they dedicated their lives and devoted their time to your word and in prayer. It allowed the church to grow. It allowed them to grow individually, spiritually, and closer to you. So, Father, in this day, in this time, in this hour, as things approach so quickly to your coming, we cry out from our hearts, Father, for a closer relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We want to thank Sister Angela for bringing the word this morning. It was on time. I know it was for myself, because these are things that I've been thinking about personally for myself. You hear the Lord's voice when you wake up and say, spend time with me and read the word. And sometimes we want to jump up and go do what we want to do or what we think we got to do. But knowing when we give them that time in the beginning of the day, the rest of the day is very smooth, if you notice. Amen. A couple announcements. If you haven't given already, we do need your support. We want to thank those that have joined us by webcast as well, too. And please remember, on May 3rd, we do have a church barbecue. It is for Christ Unveiled family and members. All right. So spouses and children only. Amen. If you would, let's stand and let's be dismissed. Father, we once again thank you for your word this morning. As we depart from here, Father, we depart from each other, but we do not depart from you. You are with us everywhere we go. We ask that you be with us the rest of this day and throughout this week, Father. Continue to guide and lead us and draw us closer to you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.